Well, they've done it again. For the 8th consecutive year in a row, according to the World Happiness Report, the happiest country in all the world is, drum roll, the country of Finland. Exactly. A place that on this very day had less than 6 hours of daylight. I just don't understand that. And always right behind them is usually another Nordic country like Denmark or Sweden, countries that also have to endure the dark and dreary days of winter. What is it that makes these people so doggone happy? Well, the typical explanations are things like universal health care, low-cost education, a strong social safety net, a close connection with nature, and a good work-life balance. Yes, all of which sound incredible, even if in the dark. But in my opinion, these explanations miss a key factor. Because when discontented Americans decide to move to one of these countries, thinking that these things will lift their spirits, studies show that, lo and behold, their level of happiness rarely increases. Now, why is this? Because in general, Americans have unrealistic expectations when it comes to their daily lives. The sky's the limit, we say. You can do whatever you want in life. You can get whatever you want. Just work hard and climb your way to the top, and success and happiness are yours for the taking. And that, my friends, is a recipe for deep disappointment. Because that's just not how it works. But on the other hand, for people who live in these countries like Finland and Denmark, for whatever reason, whenever it comes to what they want out of life, studies have consistently found that these people have much lower expectations. They are content with a modest life. There's much less of an emphasis placed on status and competition. It's less about getting everything you want and more about appreciating the simple pleasures in life, like a warm fire on a cold night. And so, more often than not, these folks, generally speaking, feel satisfied. Isn't that interesting? I think there is something here for us to pay attention to. The critical role that expectations play in our lives. How much of our frustrations and our disappointments in life are simply the byproduct of misplaced expectations? There is this intrinsic feeling most of us have that life could be perfect if only, right? If only I lived in such and such a place. If only I had such and such a spouse or family. If only I had such and such a job or income. We are so gullible to believe that our lives will finally be complete. If only. And then when it's not, I mean, we feel cheated. Life's not fair. Things weren't supposed to play out like this. I thought it would be different. I thought I would feel satisfied. And oh, how much of our angst, how much of our restlessness is simply a result of misplaced expectations. Now, to the degree that this is true in life, how much more is this the case when it comes to our faith, to our life with God, to what we expect from God in our lives? Currently, as you know, we are in the season of Advent. It's a season of waiting, of preparation, and therefore, it's a season of hope and expectation. We are waiting for Jesus to show up, to come into our lives, and when he does, we expect that it will look a certain way, don't we? I mean, how can we not? But what happens when our expectations here are misplaced? What happens to our faith when Jesus doesn't show up the way we expect him to? Friends, this, I'm telling you, I'm a pastor, this happens all the time. It happens to the best of us. Take John the Baptist, for example, the forerunner of Jesus himself, of whom Jesus said, among those born of women, no one has arisen greater than John the Baptist. We were introduced to him last week, and what a figure he is. John is the quintessential prophet of Advent, out there in the wilderness, preparing the way for the coming of the Messiah, calling all people from the peasant to the powerful to repentance, a man full of fire and fierceness, ready to receive the arrival of the King. But today, this portrait has changed dramatically, hasn't it? That fiery prophetic voice is now extinguished. That courageous one out there in the countryside is now afraid and in prison, where he poses a deeply troubling question, a question about Jesus. Are you the one who is to come, or are we to wait for another? My goodness, what has happened? John was so sure, so certain. I mean, remember what he told the crowds. I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I is coming after me, and I am not worthy to carry his sandals, and he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. But now, he's not so sure. Are you the one, or is it someone else? Why the sudden change? My friends, it's nothing other than misplaced expectations. Indeed, we heard about his expectations last Sunday, didn't we? As John predicted a Messiah who would come in with his winnowing fork and separate the good and the bad from the bad, and then burn all that chaff with an unquenchable fire. That's right, John was a hellfire and brimstone kind of preacher. And so how could the Messiah not follow suit? It seems that John had in his mind what most Jews had in their mind at that time when it came to their messianic expectations. A Messiah who would move in with power, destroy his enemies, exalt his friends. But now his own friend, even his cousin, is in prison, put there by his enemies and on the cusp of death. What is going on? Are you the one who is to come, or should we wait for another? And we've all been there before, haven't we? At a time when we were so sure, so certain God was going to show up in this way or in that. He was going to get me out of this painful situation. He was going to somehow make my job work out. He was going to restore this broken relationship. I just knew it. But then it didn't happen. In fact, it might have even gotten worse. And your faith was shaken, just like John. Is this even for real? Does God even care? Are you the one to come? Or should we wait for another? Or maybe you were told growing up, like I was, that Jesus is the answer to all your problems, that there is this hole in your heart that can only be filled by him, and so you decided to give your life to him, to follow him in his ways. But now, your life hasn't turned out at all like you thought it would. And that hole in your heart, it's still there. It still aches. And you're too afraid to admit this to anyone. But even still, you wonder, is this it? Did I miss something? Is there more? Is this Jesus thing even real, or should I look for something else? Fair questions to ask, yes. But perhaps you should ask another one as well, a question about your own expectations. Might your expectations of who God is and how he must act in your life, might those be misplaced? What you might need to do is check your expectations. Yes, Jesus is the one who comes to us, but it's not what you think. In the least, that's the message that we will hear at Christmas, right? Even more, that's the message we will hear during Lent. More often than not, the God revealed to us in Jesus Christ is not who we thought he would be. I think that's what Jesus' message is back to John. Notice that Jesus doesn't berate John for his question or his lack of faith. No, he meets him where he is, in the midst of his doubts, in the midst of his fears, and Jesus begins to move John in another direction, toward a different understanding of what it means to be Messiah. John, check your expectations. For when the Messiah comes, he doesn't bend to your will. He doesn't bring the hammer and the fire and do away with your enemies. No, according to the prophet Isaiah, the blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the deaf hear, the poor have good news preached to them, not bad news. Your expectations are misplaced. Might we need to hear the same from Jesus today? Check your expectations. As we wait for the coming of Christ, as we wait for all the ways that he wants to reveal himself to us today, what kind of person, what kind of activity, what kind of relation to us are we anticipating? And might we need to remind ourselves as well that until Christ returns on that last great day, we are always living in Advent. We are always stuck in this in-between, in the already not yet. A time when the sick are sometimes healed and sometimes not. A time when the goodness of God can catch us off guard while at the same time the wickedness of this world can just knock us flat down. A time when both joy and sorrow flow together in a strange sort of harmony. That's why the words we heard read today from the Epistle of James are so pertinent for us these days. Be patient, he says, until the coming of the Lord. See, the judge is already known. We know who he is. It's just that he's standing at the door, right? He hasn't come in yet. And precisely for this reason, do not expect to see everything sorted out in the present. Do not expect that hole in your heart that it will ever be completely at peace. Do not expect to be at a place where you can sing without reservation, "It is well with my soul." No, check your expectations. My friends, this is both the glory and the agony of Advent. I think this is why I have found so much comfort over the years in that classic and powerful song by U2. A song I used to think was on the verge of sacrilegious, but I've since come to see these lyrics as a beautiful and honest statement of faith, to be able to say, "I believe in the kingdom come, then all the colors will bleed into one, but yes, I am still running. You broke the bonds and you loosed the chains, carried the cross of my shame. You know I believe it, but I still haven't found what I'm looking for." If there was ever a theme song for Advent, I think that's it. I mean, this is where we live. Every time I hear that song, that's what goes through my mind. Check your expectations. I do believe in the kingdom come, but the world still goes not well. You did break the bonds and you loosed the chains, yet still, like John, I lay in prison. You did carry the cross. You took my shame, but I still haven't found what I'm looking for. All of us, we are still in the dark, waiting. So check your expectations. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy upon us. Confound our expectations, renew our spirit, and steel us to wait for the consummation of your kingdom on the last great day. Amen.